Amen. I might need something. These artificial flowers are getting to me. That means ever had one of those, look, you ever had one of those days where just everything just keeps, and you just, I'm going to show you how not to act like that tonight. I'm going to show you how not to act like that, okay? We're going to talk about how to handle anger. We're going to do nuts and bolts. The last few weeks, we've been doing something called nuts and bolts. And when I will go to other topics, but I still got a bunch of nuts and bolts to do. And tonight, this week and next week, thank you, sister. This week and next week, we're going to do anger. The nuts and bolts of anger. And you know what nuts and bolts mean? It's just right down to earth, simple. Thank you, sister. That's awesome. That's okay. There you go. But what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the nuts and bolts. Thank you, sister. The nuts and bolts of anger. And when I say nuts and bolts, it's just simple. I'm going to give you scripture and a brief description. If you want to ask a question, we can ask a question. But this week we're going to start it. Next week we'll finish anger, and then we'll go to another topic, probably fear. Because anger and fear, do you know, I got it in here, anger and fear have the same effect on your body. Did you know that? Anger and fear have the same effect on your body, and they're actually, anger and fear are closely connected. So after we get through with anger, we're going to go into fear. Let's look at this. Let's just pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you, Lord, for this night. I thank you, God, that we can come to you at any time, Lord. And we know, God, that you're with us, Lord, that you're working with us, Lord, that you're in total control. I ask you right now, Father, to touch and anoint in such a way that we'll know that we've been in your house tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let all of us, Lord, glean from this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Now, there was years ago, it wouldn't take much for me. That would be minor compared to what I did years ago. I'm not going to brag on the devil, but I just wanted to say that there was fingerprints and knuckle prints all in my house and in the side of my car, all kinds of things, because I had such a terrible temper. And I got that passed down from some people in my family. It was bum, bum, bum. And then the Lord got a hold of me and told me that was not the way to be, that I would never lead anybody to Christ like that. And so he began working on me. And so one of the issues I worked out with the Lord's help, matter of fact, the Lord worked it out and with a little bit of my help. A little bit of my help, a lot of the Lord, was over the years, the Lord helped me overcome anger issues. All right? There was other issues too, and we'll talk about them later, but I just want you to know, again, I'm not bragging on the devil. I don't want him to get any glory. I'm just going to say, it's important to understand that if we want to minister to people, you're going to get hurt. Amen? You're going to get hurt. If you minister to people, you be around people, you're going to get hurt. And so it's important that hurt and fear and anger, they all mix in together, and they can really, really, really cause internal pain, which is going to be exhibited on the outside through ways that you wish that it wasn't exhibited after you let it go. Have you ever said something, done something, acted away, and afterwards said, man, I sure wish I'd have done that. I got a book with my name in it, and it's full of pages of, man, I wish I hadn't done that. Amen. And especially in my younger years. I mean, the whole half of the, three quarters of the book is from my younger years. Okay? But it's very important. When hurt people hurt people, you've heard me say that before. Hurt people hurt people. When someone hurts you, usually it's because they've been hurt. Unkind people have never really felt kindness. Unloving people feel unloved. When someone's rude, bitter, unkind, sarcastic, mean-spirited, arrogant, they're shouting with all their behaviors, what they're shouting is, I'm in pain. I need somebody to care. And if we can't find a way to get out of it personally and not take it personally and find our perception honed in the right, realizing they're asking for help. They're not trying to hurt you, they're trying to ask for help. Then you can actually help that person, and good things will happen. All right, so here it is. Anger is a gift from God. Anger is a gift from God. Y'all look at me real funny right then. All right? I'm not saying it's a gift, it's one of our emotions. God gave us emotions. And every emotion he gave us were reflective of his emotions. So if anger was an emotion, Jesus, when he went into the temple and they were selling the sheep and selling the stuff, and he come in and turned the tables over, he didn't come in and say, "Do y'all mind if I turn this table over?" He didn't come in and say, "Excuse me, please." He made him a little whip when he went in there, and a whole different ball game. So anger, I'm going to tell you how anger is good. Okay, so anger, along with all of our emotions, are gifts from God. If we didn't have emotions, we'd have a very dull life. But emotions are given to us to enhance our life, not rule our life. Remember that. Emotions are a gift from God to enhance our life, never to rule our life. If an emotion rules your life, then it's going to drive you down a road that you're not going to like, and it's going to make you say things and do things that you wish you had never done. So it's very important that you understand that. So here it is. Here it is. Anger is a gift from God to motivate us to action. That's what it's there for. You know, if I walked outside right now and I saw a grown man beating on a kid or molesting a kid, don't you think I'm going to sit there and go, "You know, I don't think I'd do that. Mm-mm. It'd make me angry. And I would do something." Okay? When I think about some of the things that goes on in this world, it makes me angry. Over in Iraq, they're now beheading children. Think about this now. They're hanging Christians on crosses. They are beheading women and children. Not just men, women and children. That makes me angry. So I see this stuff going on. So remember, anger is a gift from God to motivate us to action. Anger and fear have similar effects on our bodies. But watch this. The positive effect of anger. Positive. Y'all say positive. The positive effect of anger is energy to resolve problems. That's what it is. You say, "Well, they sure made me mad." Well, then you're taking out the wrong way. The situation. They didn't make me mad. That situation angered me. And so watch this now. In the right way, anger is positive energy to resolve problems. Think about this now. Positive energy to resolve problems. Negative, though, it becomes negative if used improperly or allowed to get out of control. Because once anger gets out of control, God highly disfavors that and talks all up and down the Bible about, do not let your anger get away with you. Do not let it get uncontrolled, because once it gets uncontrolled, you are no longer a solution to the problem. You are part of the problem. Right? Matter of fact, if there was not too much of a problem there to start with, you will compound it and compound it until you become the problem. So it's important to understand, God wants us, he said, be angry and sin not. That's what he said. Be angry and sin not. So now, I want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Amen? How about y'all? All right. So now, when you allow it to get out of control, it becomes a problem to the situation and to your health. So we're going to talk about the nuts and bolts of anger. This is part one. We're going to talk about part two next week. Number one, I want you to know, you got the notes here, but you've got places I left your room to write. So I want you to write things if you want to write down some notes thinking about this. Number one, anger is energy to resolve problems and to bring justice. And I got a positive sign there. This is positive. This is the good part of anger. It's energy to resolve problems and bring justice. Since we are made in the image of God, we need to learn to use anger correctly as God uses anger. So now remember, anger is there. Keep remembering this. Emotions are created by God to enhance our lives. Without emotions, it would be a very dull life. How many Star Trek Next Generation fans are in here? Oh, I'm glad one. Okay. I just put my hand back in my pocket. Remember Data? Data on Star Trek Next Generation, he always wanted to be human. He wanted emotions because he never had emotions. And so they invented an emotion chip and they put it in his head. And once they put the emotion chip in his head, he was crying and he was laughing. He experienced fear. He had never experienced this stuff before because he never had any emotions. He just led a straight life. Get it done. Let's go for it. But as soon as they gave him emotions, things went crazy. So again, he had to learn to get those emotions under control so he could actually be productive on the Enterprise. Okay, we have to learn to get our emotions under control, and anger is one of the hardest ones to get under control. We get angry for three reasons. We get hurt, we get frustrated, or we get threatened. Or we see somebody else hurt or threatened, and again, it frustrates us. So now, check this out now. Nahum 1:3 says, "The Lord is slow to anger, great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and all the clouds are the dust of his feet." Psalm 30:5 says, "For his anger endureth for a moment, for his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." So God does have anger, but he uses it constructively, and once he has done what it's supposed to do, he stops it. He doesn't just let it ride on and become bitterness and all kinds of other stuff. Once he's done what's to be done justly, he stops it. All right? So now, number one, anger is energy to resolve problems. But number two, the wrong use of anger can be very destructive to us and to others. So here I want you to see this, read this with me, or look at it. Proverbs 14:29 says, "People with understanding control their anger. A hot temper shows great foolishness." Wow. Think about this now. Think of what it's saying. "He that's slow to wrath," King James says, "he that's slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly." Or, "He that's slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is hasty of spirit," or is quickly to get anger and anger out of control, "exposes and exalts," or lifts up, "his folly." It's kind of like this. When we lose our temper, when we lose it, if we've lost it, then somebody else is in control. Think about this now. If we lose our temper, then somebody else is in control. I'm going to tell you who's in control. There's two. There's your flesh and Satan. That's why people, sometimes you hear them, they say, well, they're going to do something crazy, and they come out and say, "I don't know, I just had, I don't know what came over me. I lost my cool, and then I didn't realize what I was doing." That's scary. That's very scary. So, also, Proverbs 15:18 says, "A hot-tempered person starts fights, but a cool-tempered person stops them." Think about it. "A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that's slow to anger appeaseth strife." So, do you want to be somebody that starts fights, or do you want to be somebody that stops fights? Stop them. So it's important that we understand the right and the wrong use of anger. Number three. Right. Number three. We can control the amount of our anger, here it goes, with our perception and what we say. Here's positive and negative. Listen carefully. This is what I was just talking about a minute ago. If we take everything personally, every time somebody jumps at you, slams at you, barks at you, if you take it every time personally, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be ready to fight. But when somebody's barking, I just told you, sometimes when they're barking at you, they're crying out for help. I remember at Fountain, so many times those guys, I'd come up to somebody trying to solve a problem, and those guys would be fussing and cussing each other and all kinds of stuff. And I'd stand there, and I'd go, "Well, I'm here." And they keep right on going. And when they finally slow down a little bit, I'd say, now, when you get through, let me know so we can fix this problem." And they'd go, and I'd go, "When you calm down, we'll fix it. If you want to keep on fussing, I'll go upstairs and work, and let me know when you're through, and I'll come back." You see, and that usually calmed people down. They would start thinking, because remember, here's some practical steps to control your anger. Number one, stop and think before you speak. I even thought about inventing a shoe that had a toothbrush on it. Because I kept my foot in my mouth so much. So I figured I could brush my teeth while my shoe's in my mouth. Stop and think. Like, stop, drop, and roll. Stop and think. Proverbs 15 and 1. Look at the situation from God's point of view. That's a new one. That's a new one, and that's a good one. Look at the situation from God's point of view. So what is God's point of view? Look at Proverbs 12 and 16. A fool's wrath is presently known, or quickly and openly known, but a prudent man ignores an insult. Here's God. He's watching. He goes, I understand that they're a loose cannon, and if you can keep your cool. How many heard of Wyatt Earp? You know, all his brothers shot. He didn't get shot. You know that? He didn't be in his 90s. And he was sometimes on one side of the law, sometimes he was on the other side of the law. But he was known for his coolness. And they asked him, how was he always so effective in every gunfight? Here's what he said. He said the reason people win gunfights is not because it's who's the fastest. He says it's who takes their time quickly, but takes their time. And is proficient at what they do. He said most time when they're gunfight, people are trying to grab their gun real fast so they can go and get you. And he says while they're doing all that, he just pulled out his gun and stayed calm and cool. God wants us to stay cool. I love the Fonz. I was working in a television shop one day. This was way back before we had cable. This is about when we just got color TV. And I was in a TV shop, and there was on one of the channels, they were showing all of our shows overseas, and they were showing Fonz overseas in France, what he did. And so they showed Fonz over in France, and he did like this, and he instead of going, he went, wee wee. If we can just calm down sometimes and go, stop. Look at the situation from God's point of view. Listen to who you're getting angry with, because I guarantee you if you listen to them long enough, you'll find out what's eating at them. And a lot of times, you're not even the problem. Or you may be that little bitty straw that broke the camel's back. You're not even part of the problem at all. You just happen to be at the wrong place at the right time. So we take everything personally or perceive that person did things intentionally, our anger rises. But if we realize that they have a problem and they need help, things start to lower. If I see somebody and say, you know what? You know, I was doing good. I was doing so good. And I have to admit, I was doing really good at Fountain. And then Daniel, my son, his boss man, Daniel's working in the racing team. And his boss man got mad one day. As some of those guys were doing, he said something very, debasing. And under normal circumstances, especially if they're saying it to me or somebody else, I'd be fine with it. I'd just say, you know, you need to calm down, dude, take your time, blah, blah, blah. But he said it to my son. And so the engineering manager was gone. Daddy Bear was rising up. I said, here comes Daddy Bear. And one of the engineers looked at me and said, calm down, Daddy Bear. And after I calmed down, I just calmed right down. And I took a deep breath. And I said, what would Jesus do? And then I thought about, would he call down fire from heaven? Or would he call out a she-bear? Or... and then when I calmed down, then I could go to the situation, and everything was fine. I told Daniel, chill, buddy. The guy didn't mean it. The guy was having a bad day. You were just his target or in the line of fire. and everything calmed down once I got Daddy Bear out of the way and let brain start working again. You know, so I remember that to this day. Every now and then when I find myself raising up, I hear that person going, "Calm down, back down, Daddy Bear." So it's really important that you have to try to think, "God, help me see what they're thinking." And sometimes they're not even thinking. Not even thinking. They're an autopilot, flesh autopilot, and they don't even know what they're doing. So the calmer you are, the faster they'll calm down. Okay, number four. This is hard too, because this is part of the daddy bear. We must refuse to react to a situation, but take time to think it through and respond to it instead. You can react and respond. Remember reacting and responding. If the doctor gives you some medicine and it's not the right medicine, he says, how's this medicine doing? You broke out in bumps. What you can say you got? A reaction. But if the pain went away and there is no bumps, then what was it? It responded. So think about this thing now when people are losing their cool around you, instead of you losing your cool, because if you lose your cool, you're going to react. Little bumps are going to come up. Daddy bear's coming out. But if you can respond, you can keep your cool and you can take care of business. All right? So it's very important that we think of this. Then, here we go. We're getting close to the end. I told you, it's not going to keep you long tonight, so we don't have to get worked up. Amen. Properly take an anger break to calm down. I remember one time I told him, buddy, you need to learn how to, he was eating them up. I said, "Buddy, you need to learn how to use some tack." He said, "Give me a few of them, I'll tack him to the wall." I said, "You got it all wrong." Okay. Proverbs 16:32 says that is slow, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He that ruleth his spirit is it than he that taketh a city. It's talking about physical strength compared to inward strength. And he's saying is inward strength is much better than outward strength. You know, so what? What if I can crack a coconut with my hand? But if I can't take a little insult, somebody might be impressed when they see a little crack that coconut with my hand, but you know what? What impresses me with people is when I see somebody can be, especially people that can be calm and cool under pressure. That I love to see that. You know, I think one of my favorite actors was Tommy Lee Jones, because he's always calm, always cool under pressure. Linda says, "Why do you like Tommy Lee so good?" I said, "Watch him, he's just so cool." So, not much to look at, but he's cool. All right. James 1:19 says, "Understand this, my beloved brethren, that every man be quick to hear or ready to listen, slow to speak, slow to take offense, and to get angry." Do you know, and you've heard this, some of y'all probably heard this 1,000 times, God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. That means he wants us to hear twice as much as we talk, or what we say. So it's important. So now I'm getting close to the end here, and I'm going to give you a few tips on handling anger. And next week, we're going to really get deep into it. So I haven't seen somebody die. I told Linda, I said, that was kind of crazy. Someplace had a flood last night. And the man's walking through the water, and the water's up to here. And he's got his hands in his pockets holding his pants legs up. And I told Linda, how crazy is that? I mean, the water's coming all up to here. He's holding his pants up like he's gonna keep the last little inch of dry pants dry. Maybe so, but I mean, I just looked at it and I broke out laughing. I mean, it's bad about the flood. I hated the flood. Well, I've been in a flood before with Floyd, but just seeing that man, you know. And sometimes we're up to here in our emotions, and we're trying to hold it back. And we don't realize how silly we look. Amen? So here we go. Get ready. We're getting out of this thing. We're backing out. We'll finish up next week. But this really is some awesome stuff. You can take this stuff and study it, and just study it, study it, study it. That one page will wind up being 10 pages of your own study notes. If you cannot resolve the problem, we are to give it and our anger to God. If you cannot resolve the problem, give the problem to God. Matter of fact, before you even try to resolve the problem, give it to God. But if you see it's going nowhere fast, just give it to God and then give your anger to God. Romans 12:19 says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." I like the Amplified Version. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave the way open for God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay or requite, says the Lord. Maybe if I could, I don't know about, I know we're all from different parts of the state or different parts of the county and stuff, but we used to do something. We'd come up and pop somebody in the forehead, pop them right hard and go, Bo Dilly. Y'all ever see that? We go, Bo Dilly. Or sometimes somebody done something, you go up to them and go, Bo Dilly. Of course, it weren't healthy to do it to some people. Yeah. I hit me one time, with guy hit me and went, Bo Dilly, and I went, boom, bent over, Billy. So, but still, why do you want to get that little lick in when you can back up and God can solve the problem? I was listening, and it's not connected to the message, but I was just listening to Joyce Meyer yesterday, and it was really awesome because it was yesterday before. She said, she was talking about reaping and sowing. And she said they had a Bible study group, and there was a lady in there that got pregnant, and said the lady wouldn't come to the Bible study group because she was sick. And Joyce Meyer said, I had a baby, I weren't sick like that. The other lady said, I had a baby, I weren't sick like that. Obviously, she don't understand. We got an important Bible study here. How could she be so sick? And they really cut her down. A couple years later, she got pregnant again. And she said she got so sick. And while she's sick, she thought about her talking about how can somebody be so sick when they're pregnant. You see, it's better just to back yeah, it's better just to back off and let God handle it. So watch this. I'm gonna give you some couple little tips, and then we're gonna pray. Anger controlled is healthy. Anger uncontrolled is very unhealthy. It will hurt you and everybody around you. It'll make you say things and do things you wish you hadn't said at the time. You think it's great, but as you get going down the road and start thinking about it, you'll hate that you even opened your mouth. So watch this. Here's how to handle your anger. Number one, when you're in the middle of something with somebody, a confrontation, stick to the issue. Don't chase rabbits. Amen. You get arguing with somebody, and they'll go, you know, your wife comes in, she says, you left the toothpaste top off again. That's the issue. And then you go, well, you put the tea pitcher back in the refrigerator with that much tea. And then she says, well, at least I know how to get up and make tea. And then you go, I wouldn't drink your tea if it was the last tea on earth. The whole problem was the toothpaste cap. Y'all ready to go see a marriage counselor or either go see the judge, one or the other. And all it was a toothpaste cap. So, we're all laughing because we've all done it. Amen. If you know you have done it, clap your hands. Okay. Number two, own your anger. Instead of saying you made me angry, just say I got angry when this happened. I got angry. Not you made me angry. Just a few weeks ago I was talking about, you know, and it's really kind of funny because I was talking, and it was so funny because somebody in my family I was talking to, and I was telling them, I said, you know, when you say somebody made you angry, that means they're controlling you. And I was in here talking about it in the sermon a couple weeks ago, and I said, so you can't say they made you angry. The situation made you angry, and they're controlling you, and you're giving them control of your emotions. So I'm sitting down a few weeks later, and something happened, and I can't remember what it was. It was something minor. And without even thinking, I said, that they made me angry. And the person in my family said, and now they're in control of your emotions. And I said, we're back to the toothpaste cap. Okay. Stick to the issue, own your anger, and keep talking. You know, men are bad about that. You get arguing and men go. And you go, well, you going to say something? Mm-hmm. What? You got nothing else to say? I said what I had to say. Men are bad about that. That's got a part. Remember he told you that women, men speak about 20,000 words a day. Women speak about 40. And so by the time they get home, the men's already spoke his 20, and the women's only halfway through. Psychological fight. That's going to get me killed. I'm going to be quiet. It'll get me killed. But look, men, you got to open your mouth. I find myself sitting there going, I really don't want to argue. I don't want to talk about it. Just, yeah, and it's like, yes, dear. So watch this. Men, especially men, but all of us, keep on talking. Don't shut down, because if you shut down, then you're not solving anything. All right? Number four. Here's where I get to come in, or somebody like me. Find a peacemaker if necessary. Sometimes you just need to find a third impartial party. A third impartial party is not your mother-in-law. A third impartial party is not your father. A third impartial party is somebody like your pastor or somebody that has no pony in the race. Okay? So, not a son-in-law. You know, it's like when my kids are having a hard time, and this is where the hard part is, and in counseling. In counseling, there's a different set of ethics for a counselor, professional counselor, and a pastoral counselor. And the reason there's a different set of ethics is because a pastoral counselor is a pastor and a counselor. And so I have to put on two hats. And so when it comes to my kids, if I'm their pastor, like with Daniel, now I'm his dad, I'm his pastor, and I'm his counselor. I feel like a three-headed monster talking to him. But again, sometimes it does good just to sit down. Just to sit down with a third person and let them help you talk about it. Matter of fact, that third person can sit in the middle and go, okay, you talk. No, then you talk. And I'll find an object in the room and I'll go, okay, you hold that. Now, as long as you're holding that, you do all the talking. Whoever's holding this does the talking. And I found myself, I was in Greenville one day doing marriage counseling. And the one party was talking, the other party couldn't talk, so the other party took the thing right out of their hand and put it right in mine. What they were saying was, you're not going to let me talk. I'm getting tired of hearing you talk, so put it in the pastor's hand. Ha ha. And so I was sitting there and said, okay, now you talk. And I said, I was actually enjoying the conversation here. Okay. Number five, forgive forgive, forgive. I promise you, whoever you forgive this time, especially your partner, if you forgive them this time, there's going to come a time where you're going to need their forgiveness. If a friend, you may find out, you say, well, I don't know if I won't forgive them or not. Well, I can guarantee there's going to come a time where you're going to need their forgiveness. It comes back. It bounces back all the time. And so you learn how to forgive. Forgiveness is a gift. And what was the greatest forgiveness? The gift of the cross. All right, that was the greatest. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't even realize what they're doing. And if he can do that while they're putting nails in his hands, we can do that when somebody's, whatever they're doing to us, you know. God is so awesome. And he tells us how to handle anger. Now next week we're going to go a little bit further in it. Then we're going to go into fear. And maybe even go into emotions after that. But this is just nuts and bolts. This is just down to earth. Got some scriptures. Got some stuff written about the scriptures. And hopefully y'all can take this home and study it. That's why I give you paper so you can go home and study it. Take it home and study it. And what I do is I keep a notebook. I keep a little notebook. And I cut three holes in it, and I put in that notebook. And so if I ever go back and keep thinking about it, or if it's in my computer, I know where it's at. I call it back up, and I look at my computer. It's very important that you keep this stuff so that you can go back over it later. Amen? It'll come in handy. How many's been angry any time lately? Everybody's raising their hand. I mean, you know, anger can be like this, or anger can be like this. But let me tell you something. Whether it's like that, or it's like that, even like that can cause a lot of problems. If you don't think that can cause, if you don't think small things can cause a problem, you've never been in the bedroom with one mosquito at night. That's not good either. Yeah. Daniel did that. Daniel had a gas can. He went to pour the gas can on a fire, and when it threw it, the fire came back up the gas can. He went, and his children, his wife was looking. He took it and threw it down. Of course, it didn't catch on. I don't know how, other than God, it didn't blow up with him. You know, and I can tell you this. I felt so bad Saturday. I'm going to tell you a story, or the true story is true. Saturday night, I was trying to be good. I'd gotten some stuff, some school stuff. I got some school stuff for my grandyoungins, and I walked over, and I was getting ready to leave. I had to go somewhere, so I was going to go walk over. I saw Daniel outside, and so I went over to give Emmy some school stuff, school supplies. As I'm getting back in my car, I said, Daniel, I'll see you later, buddy. So I'll see you tomorrow, Daniel. It's all right. I get in the car, and I back up, and I feel something. I'm backing it real slow, and I feel something funny. And so I said, this ain't cool. So I pulled up. When I pulled up, I saw they've got a dog named Sprocket. And Sprocket went running. So I still don't know exactly what happened, except I went back later and looked, and there was a patch of hair. And so I don't know what happened. I really don't. And I called Daniel. I said, Daniel, go find your dog. Make sure he's not hurt. We need to take him to the vet. I went looking for him, couldn't find him. So I had to be gone. So I left. I kept saying, find your dog, find your dog. I was upset. Man was upset. I come home and I bring the stuff in the house. Daniel's outside. Michelle comes up and Daniel goes, we found Sprocket. I said, how is he? He said, he's bleeding from his mouth and from his rear. And I said, oh no. And my heart dropped. And Michelle said, he's telling you something wrong. He said, Sprocket's running around here chasing fireflies. And I said, Daniel, you survived 6 trips to Afghanistan, but you ain't going to survive 1 trip of Pawpaw coming over there. So it can be little, or it can be big. But either way, you got to watch it, because either it's little or big, it can really do something. permanent. Damage. People say sticks and stones break my bones, words never hurt me. That's not true. If you don't believe that's true, watch that Geico commercial. Do you know that words really can hurt you? Y'all remember to see that one? And he rides off in the sunset and VM pops up and hits and gets knocked off his horse. Yeah. I'm a loner and loners have to be alone. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that your word's powerful. And you teach us how to live day to day, nuts and bolts, how to live. And Father, in this day and time, especially because of all the tension around the world and all the personal tension that we're all under with the economy and stuff, it is so easy to get angry. And anger under control is one thing. But when it gets out of control, people get hurt. Father, anger's not meant for a negative. It's meant for a positive. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us. Help us to see and understand and know it. And we thank you for it right now. Bless us this weekend, Lord, as we come back to church and watch what you can do. You're an awesome God. You're able to take care of it. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for it all. And the church said, now, of course, I don't know exactly all I did to Sprocket when I backed up, but I can tell you this. When I drove in the yard yesterday and he saw my car, he run. He run. He said, Pawpaw ain't good, ain't kind in that car. Y'all ready to go home? Happy? If you're happy, you know it, let me see it. Everybody happy? Happy, 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 happy. Amen. That's right. Brother, dismiss us in prayer, please.